Hello there, and welcome to another episode of What Do You Call It podcast. I'm your host, GB. Today's guest is one half of Act Two, a tag team that you are already familiar with if you listen to this podcast. Rock and roll star himself, Jack Nudson. How you doing today, mate? You all good?
Hello, mate. I'm all right. How are you?
Good stuff, good stuff. Yeah, I'm not too bad. We actually had a pretty nice conversation there before recording. I'm not going to reveal what we said. Nothing bad, don't worry.
Yeah, we've done all the good stuff.
Yeah, mate, it was just a good warm up, to be fair, and just felt like we've been talking for ages. So it's a good start, and I feel like it's going to be a good chat. Before I do roll back the clocks, discover how you got into wrestling, there is one video before I start recording I actually want to mention to you, and I can tell you're really laughing. Basically, I stumbled across a video of yours, which I believe was your debut video 6, 7 years ago, the first ever match you had. One thing that stood out to me about the match itself, not just how young you were in the video, because you've got to tell me your age, but just before you do, and actually tell me about it in detail, is the finish. It actually reminded me, it was very similar to Rowdy Piper and Bret Hart, WrestleMania 8. God, I'm a fucking mark. But it just straight away, it's one of my favorite matches. I'm going to have to sort of, relay that to you. But just tell me about the match itself, because Jesus Christ, you look so young in that match.
Yeah, that's you know what? There was a point where, like, maybe 3 years ago, where I was like, I super cringed out by it, and I was like, oh my God, because if you watch the whole thing, it's terrible, right?
That bad, mate.
I'm gonna so I ramble a lot and I'm gonna lose my train of thought, but we were backstage a few months ago at a Chaos show with Mark Andrews, and he was showing us videos of Pete Dunne. So in that video, I'm 15, right? And he was showing us videos of Pete Dunne at 15 on these, like, on their on the shows that they were putting on. And Pete, even then, is this world, he's been Snapdragons, he's like the most polished 15-year-old as a wrestler you've ever seen. And again, I used to really hate this, and I was dead. I hope nobody had seen it, but it's got a crazy amount of views. And it's not a match that I'm proud of, as
I'm
like
going to
a
put in the links, by the way, in the
that I did it.
description.
Oh, do
Like,
it.
just so people can see
It
it.
can't get many more of you, but there's like a bit in it where, so he showed me these, oh, Pete Dunne doing these amazing things, 15 years old, absolute world eater. And I go, have a look at this. And I'm not sure, if you watch the whole thing, there's a bit in the match where I go for a rolling thunder and the guy moves. The guy I'm working with was the guy who coached me for like the first 4 years of my career, a guy called Birchall. And he moves out of the way. And I take the gnarliest neck bump you've ever. I just drive my neck into the canvas. It was so dangerous. I could have got really hurt. And yeah, I showed Mark Andrews that. I was like, well, Pete was doing this at 14. I was doing
Oh, it's all
this
right then. Like, I think
horrendous
you
rolling
fucking neck
thunder at
myself.
15.
But if Pete did it, then it's okay. It's all
Yeah.
right.
But I was like, so him at 15 already, you could tell, was going to be one of the best wrestlers in the world. Me at 15 could barely do a forward roll. But yeah, the finish of that match was, it was that was all from the guy I was working with, Birchall. I'm not sure how much we peel it back here, but yeah, it was. I think the reason he wanted to do it was because he'd recently watched Brett versus
Austin, Survivor Series '96.
Austin as ringmaster,
Yeah,
and like
I'm a
the
fucking nerd.
significance.
Sorry. You say just
I
before,
don't.
like, oh yeah, like I'm really old. Like, mate, I'm showing my age now.
It,
96.
I me and Kaya, it was me, Kaya, and Ben Benjamin Harlan went to AEW when it was over here a few months ago, and I sat there and I did what you've just done. I was sat there. It was me, Kaya was in the middle, Ben was the other side, and it's the Young Bucks match versus FTR,
Amazing match.
and they do the Brett and Bulldog finish.
Yeah.
As a near fall from SummerSlam, and I grabbed Kyron and went, oh my God, that's the near fall. And I could see in her eyes her being like, such a fucking
Just like,
loser.
you fucking mark. Like MJF
Such a
screaming down the
mark.
mic.
It was so bad.
Did you have like any of your family or friends there, by the way? Or like, you're talking about like Mark Andrews' reaction, and I'm sure like Benjamin's had a good laugh at it as well, but like, what were
Yeah.
like those close to you when they first saw this clip? Did they like, please don't do that again? Or they're like, do you know what? You've got something. Just like, what was the overall reaction to
Well,
that match?
a lot of my family, I say a lot, like my dad, my sister, my little sisters and my older sister were there and actually came to it. So before that, I think a year before that, the first thing I did in a wrestling aspect, because before this I reffed and I did whatever, But the first thing I did on a wrestling aspect was I was number like 10 of 10 in a rumble. Came out to Mark Henry's theme and just did cutters because
Got
all
you,
I could
dude.
do was cutters.
Well, like,
And
so
it was
that's you,
so
like,
good. And
you know, just start doing that. And it's like, somebody's gonna get their ass kicked.
I was like, so if I was 15 in that video, I was 14 then. I was a ref and I was too small for any ref shirt I could buy. So I wore a white shirt and a bow tie, like an old world of sport ref. I slide in, feel like Mark Henry to the theme and just start hitting cutters because it's all I could do.
Did no one
But I
stop
only
you? But
found.
sorry, mate. Like, did no one stop you to say, like, you sure you want to come out to that theme song? There's plenty to choose
You
from.
know, what I got offered was you can come out with someone else and do the Balor's entrance, which now I'd lap up.
Yeah.
But it's like a quite insecure 14-year-old.
Oh yeah.
I was maybe 6 stone soaking wet. I thought, I'll be the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. That makes way more sense.
I love it. Love it.
But I found out about that, the way a wrestling can be so like strange for stuff like that. That was like my debut, if you will. I found out on the day, so I rang my family. I was like, "Can you get here? Can you get to this?" And then a year later, when I found out about that show, the one with the video, I had some pre-warning because obviously I had to get my rather spectacular trunks. And if you go in the comments of that actual debut,
Not actually seeing the comments. I'm gonna send people here, but I wanna, like, we'll get my reaction. Oh, I've got live scores in the background because Chelsea Tottenham 1-0 at the time of recording. I know it's what I've seen. I actually don't want to talk about football, by the way. Normally I'll, you know, sort of go into it a little bit about, like, the weekend's results or whatever. But no, we were robbed against Newcastle. So yeah, football
Rob,
talk for me. I'm
you could
still not over
have.
it.
Did you have a lot of football talk when you had Lance Rivera on? Because
Yeah, quite a lot.
he loves
Oh,
it.
I think I actually had a bet. I think it was the first ever episode. Fortunately, some of it's gone. I can't find it because, basically, long story short, like, lost my YouTube channel, and that's one of the interviews I didn't keep. But nothing personal, Lance. Yeah, so we just basically, like, talked about Man United, Arsenal for fucking ages. This is when Ollie was in charge, and I was like, if Ollie somehow wins a trophy or wins the title, I will have you back on, and I'll wear a Man United top with his name in the back. And, you know, Lance is like,
I love him, but he's the worst.
where is that video? Where is it? I'm gonna find it, mate.
Yeah,
Hold on. It's like the fourth result. Hold on. Yep, found it.
the comments are wild. And me and
Did
Ben
people just rip
only.
into you?
Oh no, people rip into the camera work, but again, I'm 15, I'm maybe 7 stone.
It's the
They're
internet,
just
though, mate.
creeps.
You, like, you only have
It's
yourself to
just
blame.
creeps.
There we are. We've got the fire explosion at the beginning. Where's the comments? I can't
Is
see the comments on this.
that the one with a lot of viewers? There's 2 videos of it, because
There's
obviously it's
one.
just
There's
doing
Nelson
comments.
debut, and that's you. You come out. There's so many colors, like, they've added on to this video in effect.
Oh yeah, no, it's not that one. That's an edit of it because, of
You're
course,
doing
they
like the
need to
Liam
make
Gallagher
it.
and just.
Oh, it was so bad.
Which one is it?
It's if you put in like Jack Knudsen wrestling or debut, it's one of the first ones, and it's got like 60k views or something mental, and
That
it's just
wrestling, yeah,
creeps.
four 5K. Tom wrestling debut, Jack Nelson.
Oh no, it's not that one. That's again, there's just so many. It's
They've all got quite
I
good
think
views,
it's
to be fair. 76K.
Callum Hopper.
Callum Hopo.
That's the one. Yeah,
This
get in
one
the
I've not
comments on
seen.
that.
That this was your actual debut.
Yeah, that's the full thing. That's
Oh,
so it's the
fuck's
same
sake.
match.
Oh, mate.
That's the
Oh, some
Rolling
nice comments.
Thunder.
I bet it's going to get worse, though.
Oh,
Jack
I
is so
guess so
cute
much
with his
worse.
trunks. Flashback into the late 2010s. Blah, blah. Jackie has beautiful hair.
See, that's harmless,
Does it
but
get
oh, they
worse?
get
Hold on.
worse.
Where's the mean ones? Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. I'm going to read. I'm going to let people read them.
Creepy, right? Have you seen the one about when I take my jacket off? There's a time stamp on it. It's like 6 minutes. Took my breath away. And it's a 15-year-old boy taking his top off.
Poor sexy muscle boy got put in the sleeper hold. No fair. 8:45
I was not a
minutes.
sexy muscle boy. I was definitely not a sexy muscle boy.
Was the camera operator drunk? I'm gonna read out some of the, like, least worst ones. Horrible camera person. Now I'm that dizzy. Okay, yeah, everyone gets the. You're my guest. I'm not gonna read all these out unless you do.
Yeah, they're
Oh,
bad.
it's real. But
But people should go and seek these out.
so if anyone wants to watch it, basically pause this interview right now, and. Check out the video. It's the first one comes up. So Jack Nelson, for some reason, it just kept going straight to the second video for me. The thumbnail is a child, basically in the crowd. And four and a half, DJ Bart, Chris Simpson. There you go.
That's my old man. That's my
the internet. It's a dark place. Absolute faceless cunts, though. Oh my God, just broke my own rule. I blame you, Leon. So I've confirmed that you are a massive Oasis fan. So I've got to just quickly ask you, Liam or Noel?
Liam, definitely. But now probably Noel's music. I really like the stuff that Noel's doing. I think Liam's more recent stuff hasn't been as good as Noel's recent stuff. But especially like you look at that entrance, early Doors, first, and like we'll talk about this with newer people now and like. Oh, character-wise, you watch that entrance, you watch the walk, you watch everything. It's just Liam Gallagher. Whereas I think if you look at me as a wrestler now, it's Jack Knudsen is a different thing.
There's an influence, but you're not trying to be him.
Yeah. Whereas initially I was just him, but I think you can take a very and Liam Gallagher as a person is a very it's very obvious
Marmite.
Who he is.
Yeah, it's very Marmite. I love him personally.
Yeah.
I was there. I think you went with Lance, didn't you, last year? At Nebworth Park.
I didn't.
Did you not go?
Me, Lance and Christy all have like a very similar taste in music. I'm poor. We all have very similar taste in music, but we've never we need to and probably 2024 it'll happen. Me and the boys will go.
That's fair. I like seeing your posts together, but I'm gonna rewind the clocks a little bit. And I just it's always like a format of the podcast now, and it's always interesting to hear, especially with the British wrestlers, because I can relate to it myself. But how did you, Jack, get into wrestling to begin with?
It's so like the first thing I ever saw of wrestling was World of Sports stuff.
Really?
If you see the way I work now, there's definitely still influences of it. Like I adore Johnny Saint. He's like I think one of the greatest wrestlers ever. I think what he did was so intricate and smart, and it wasn't too intricate that people couldn't understand it, but it was beautiful enough that if you study it, you can go, oh, he was
quite ahead of his time.
Oh, massively, right? And not just Saint, but Rocco and guys like that, and all these British wrestling greats was sort of my introduction to wrestling. By my granddad showed me that. He'd always tell me that he used to walk to the ring with Johnny Saint, which is definitely just a lie that you tell a child. But I used to be like, oh my God, that's amazing. They were friends.
No.
But they
my dad 100% used to say that. Lie. He used to be like, oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Bret Hart just wrote to me. He was asking for you. Just stuff like little things like that. I'm only like, I don't know, 4 or 5. But I used to be like, what did Bret say? Obviously, like, you know, I got older. And then,
he's definitely just doing it as a bit. but then, so I was like, oh, well, there's wrestling on now. So I like figured it out from seeing World of Sport. And then I found like Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, whatever.
Yeah.
And I watched that and my granddad hated it. And then, it was really like the big turn for me of like, oh my God, obsessive over wrestling. Was I got the DVD for WrestleMania 22, and I watched that nightly. Like it was like the 3 discs.
Underrated WrestleMania.
Such a good. Well, I'm biased, right? Because me and Kai were talking about this last night. I was like WrestleMania 22, best WrestleMania. And I was like, but it isn't. It isn't the best WrestleMania.
I'd say top 10. I think that. Easily,
it's maybe up there, but I think 30 is.
But for you, obviously, personal reasons. It, you know, always.
Yeah, right. So I love it.
Yeah.
But then if you look at it, and people are like, oh, Foley Edge, and then you've got Ray versus Kurt Angle and Randy Orton, and the Cena for the Lights match. But then you've also got like Mark Henry versus Undertaker, which sucked.
Yeah.
And the Boogeyman versus Shawn Michaels and Booker T, which sucked. So it's not that strong of a WrestleMania, but obviously, like. The nostalgia
it opens
of
up
it.
With fucking Big Show and Kane against Carlito and Chris Masters
against the Masters of Cool.
I like Masters, don't get me wrong, but it was just such a random
one match. Of the best exposed turnbuckle spots ever. So subtle, you get the turnbuckle off, bang, there's the finish. So good. Also,
God,
Carlito, like,
mate, you've got some memory. How many times you watched ramp? It? I don't remember that match.
I used to know pretty much word for word the promo that introed. The Rey Mysterio match because I was like obsessed with that match.
Remember the build up. It's like, I mean, it's horrible. I mean, even at that time, And I think you know what I'm going to sort of lead into. It's Randy Orton to Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio just won the Royal Rumble. They're at SmackDown. You're looking to the sky as if Eddie's up there. Eddie's not up there. He's down there. And it's just the fact that he takes that pause. Hell. It's just like, oh mate, ruthless aggression. What's truly ruthless? I mean, that's just a cringe line, but you get what I mean.
Yeah.
But nah, great show. That's a great show. While you are watching WrestleMania 22 on repeat, when did you know, though, that you wanted to give it a try, that you actually were inspired enough to want to become a professional wrestler?
See, I listened to Ben when he was on, and I said this to you before we started recording, but I thought that was great, and I really enjoyed how, like, natural you and him spoke. I was like, oh, this is really enjoyable to listen to. I think we had very similar, even though me and Ben didn't know each other at this point.
Yeah.
This was way before I ever hated him.
We are going to get to that. That is one of my key points of this interview. But
I kind of just had the same feeling of like just being a bit of a dumb kid and being like, oh, well, wrestling is only in America because my granddad told me how World of Sport went off TV and I knew that it wasn't around anymore. So I was like, oh, I'll just magic myself over and I'll be like, hey, Vince, let me be the next British Bulldog. And obviously that's not realistic. I remember in computers class in school, where you'd like supposed to be making scratch games or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd search like Wrestling UK, how to wrestle UK, how to build a ring and all this stuff. And we'd like backyard or back garden wrestling. We did little bits of that and I was like, I'm pretty good at this. And I thought I was absolute dogs. We did a thing called WWE Knee for a little bit that I invented, which is
WWE Knee,
which is shoot wrestling on your knees against your friends on your mum's bed, and it's kind of inspired by sumo. Honestly, this is deep. I shouldn't really be giving this away for free, but you wrestle on your knees on a bed, and whoever pushes the other one off the bed wins. And we had the foam like kids' belts, and I'm not bragging, but I was undefeated. And it sounds like a lie, but you ask James Tomkinson and Jack Townsend, my two childhood best friends, and I was the man at WWE. And I reckon if I bought it back, I'd still be touching it.
It's weird to actually ask for this because I WWE. Is there like a Facebook page for this or something? Like, there was there titles, like a logo or? Oh my
God. I never got that deep. Like, if you look at how some of the lads used to yard, they did it properly. But like WWE was just like kind of messing about. We were really young, and then we got into backyarding, and I'd get four of my garden chairs, and I'd put the wire from my mower, but my mower was attached to the wire, so it had to be a part of the set around the chair. So there was one rope; it was a top rope, which maybe came up to like below nipples. And I thought, I'm pretty good at this wrestling because I could, like, Finn Balor dive over it onto grass. So we did that for a little bit. But, yeah, they were really – the way that I thought I'd wrestle was just it magically happened. And instead, I would always search wrestling schools, this. And then finally when I was 14, I think, or 13, I searched and it finally came up with something. I found out about Hope Wrestling, which – was running shows, but then also at the time had a school in Derby and it had another one. I went to Derby for a little bit and then there was complications so I couldn't get there. As you read him out, DJ Bart, if anyone ever needs a DJ, my dad, I was with him DJing and one of the guys from Hope Derby came in who I used to train with. And he was like, oh, you used to train? And I was like, yeah, I just can't get there anymore. So I realistically at 14 thought I've tried wrestling and I'm not going to be able to do it until I'm old enough to drive and I can get somewhere.
That is still one bit further though than wrestling fans throughout like their whole life. Yeah, I would do it, but it's just not for me. Or I don't think I've got it in me to do it, or I'm not fit enough, whatever. But you still gave it a go at young age.
Yeah, and just like had that crack at 14. But I was like, and even when I couldn't make it there, I was like, well, can I get a train? I was looking at, oh, how many buses would it take? But obviously, 13, you haven't got disposable income. How can I? So I'm trying to figure it out, and I've maybe not been there for 2 months, and I'm just trying to figure it out. We're DJing this party. This guy comes in. I'm like, oh, my God, you're from wrestling. He was like, oh, why did you stop coming? I was like, I'm trying to figure out how I get there every week. And he was like, yeah, you could do. Or Birchall just opened a school in Stoke, which is like 15 minutes away from you. Why don't you just go there?
Nice.
And then I started there. We were training on mats in an old working men's club for maybe 3 years. When I that debut match you would have seen, and everything I'd done before that, I was wrestling, and I could do some stuff, but I didn't know how to hit ropes because I'd been in a ring maybe 3, 4 times before that. Because I think it's not luck now. It shows how much better the scene's got, but a lot of places now have rings straight away, and people are learning in rings, and they're learning with amazing coaches and all this great stuff. Whereas early doors for me, like, we didn't have a ring, so to learn things like running and doing anything off a top or a middle rope or was just impossible to learn.
And when you did do that, did you find, because you were doing it at a young age, was there any other students similar ages, or did you find everyone to be more advanced, to be older and experienced? And did would that even be a difficulty for you at the time?
There was definitely like difficulties with it. So luckily, when I came to the barracks, as it was, it had only been open for 2 weeks, so everyone there had 2 weeks of training. So nobody was great. Nobody was really. And I'd had the couple of months of training in Derby, so I knew roles, and I knew a few little things, a few little
Potentials and
technical
stuff, yeah.
things, just stuff that they taught in the classes I was in. So I went there. Again, as a kid, and not really anything to me, but I understood little bits. So I think that helped me early doors, that I knew as much as everyone else. And then really, I didn't really struggle because I took it so seriously. And I think in hindsight, I might have taken it a little bit
You had
too
that experience from
seriously.
WWE, mate, so that's so unique.
Yeah, like I had those WWE knee reps, so I thought, this is a business. But I think I look back at being like 15, 14, 15, and I was like a kid, and I was like, I could have been enjoying it a little bit more, and just, but I was so serious, and I was like,
That's probably
no, I
helped you
must
develop
do
into the
this.
talent that you
And
are.
yeah, being
You're
so
still young.
committed that first bit of like, and then looking at your fundamentals and being like, they've got to be perfect, got to be perfect. And
Yeah.
I wouldn't joke around in class, and that probably it was helped by the fact that there wasn't many people there my age, so I didn't have anyone to joke around with. But like, when I did first start, the rare occasion that we would have a row, I was so young that I couldn't hit a top rope because the top rope would hit me in the back of the head. I'd have to hit a
Yeah,
middle rope like Rey
didn't think
Mysterio.
about
Like, I
that.
was just so it's the weird things that are different, and I'm not the people think I'm shorter than I am because I'm always next to Ben, who is just a
Yeah,
giant. He is a
I did
massive
ask him this.
man.
I was like, how tall are you? Because like I can't tell if like, just if you're smaller than me myself, because I'm not very tall. I was like, oh, is Jack taller than me, or are you just really tall? But I just couldn't tell.
Yeah, people think I'm tiny. I'm a pretty regular sized guy. Ben's just massive. So whenever
Yeah.
we're in pictures or together, so people who don't know us meet us and they go, "Oh, you're regular height. He's just huge." But I imagine I could have been a little bit taller if I wasn't bumping on my head since I was 40, and I don't think that's helped. But I was in like good environments, and then the friends that I did make, it wasn't weird to me, but I suppose, to my dad or to my sister, who have been crazy supportive the whole time I've been wrestling and haven't been able to do enough for me. But I imagine it is a bit weird that all of my friends are sort of 25 and 30, and I'm a 14-year-old kid, and I'm just getting in cars on the weekend and
Yeah.
going away to different bits of the country with 30-year-olds. But I
Yeah.
think when
Oh, he
someone
did. It's been
loves it
good.
so
Yeah. I'm
much.
just going up to Portsmouth with Dave, just building a ring
Yeah,
with
exactly.
him.
Just going in this random guy's van, and we're
Yeah.
gonna.
Hello there. I've got a special announcement for my next guest.
You are listening to the Sweet Prince of Professional Wrestling, one half of Act Two, Benjamin Harland, and I will be appearing on What Do You Call It podcast.
Ooh, better than what you called it podcast. Listen to the episode and you'll get the reference. Awesome. We just took a short break then. I was kind of still laughing about the WWE knees and the fact that Tottenham are down to nine men at the time of recording. Happy fucking days. But it is against Chelsea, so I can't get too excited because I fucking hate them as well. Anyway, enough about the football because I didn't mean to, I talk about Arsenal and I'd rather not do that. So we discussed your debut, but what I want to ask you, Jack, is the tag team. Act two. So I recently had Benjamin Harland on, great guest, really good lad. He was very complimentary of you, however, and I think we briefly touched on it. when we come, when it comes to first impressions, and you were just not the biggest fan of him to begin with. And I don't know if it was anything personal, but do tell me your side.
Oh, it was definitely personal.
There we go then. Please tell me your side of the story as to what was your first impression of Benjamin Harland, the sweet prince of pro wrestling.
No, I will preface. I love him to pieces. And obviously, he is my best mate. I'm so lucky that I get to spend every weekend living the dream with my best mate. And it's so, and we talk all the time about like how it's cool having a singles match when it's going really well. Mm-hmm. But there is a magic of, because if you have a match that's going really well, I usually can't tell Ben about that until I get backstage. Oh my God, did you see that? That was sick. But there is this beautiful little moment where it's going really well, and if the crowd are really into it and everything's flowing, where I can turn like that,
you can
and
absorb
you can look at your best mate, and you both just look and like, again, you know this. You'll have people you're close enough with that you don't need to say a word, but you can fire them a look, and you just go, "We're fucking winning
this is
here.
This look is going fucking well."
Magic, right? And the amount of times we also though, something goes a bit wrong, me and Ben can fire each other a look and go, "We need to fix this." You know what I mean? And we can tell so much. But that's enough of me being nice about him. Yeah, I just didn't like him. He was just, from meeting him, I think we're both very young lads when we first met. And also, like, neither of us, I think we're quite personable now. I think we've grown as people. But then we were maybe just a bit shy and not as personable.
But you even saying, just like before the break, you were saying, like, you was really into it. Like, you took it very seriously. And you probably just
I was probably too serious. Like, there was a time where we were training and a guy was sick, right? And this was early doors. He showed up, young kid, drank a litre of Coke during the session, doing some cardio, and he just starts throwing up. Obviously, you'd stop, but I was such a little, I must do this. I must impress. That I just carried on doing sidesteps whilst this guy was being sick.
Everyone else would stop. Fucking grim.
Sidestepping over his sick. And the coach was like, "Yeah, stop. What are you doing?" But so that's like a preface of how much I was into it. Ben was really into it, and we just never really chatted. Again, it's like, it sounds really bad, but I didn't feel like I was really there to make friends, because now all of my closest friends pretty much are through wrestling. And like, it's great that there's people who you see 5 weeks on the bounce. Like, I find it with Lance a lot. Me and Lance see each other like three times in 1 week, and then we don't see each other for 2 months, and every time we see each other we pick right back up, and it's like we never, like, we're just really good mates. And that's someone who I've just met through wrestling. But yeah, me and Ben, we just didn't click. And I think as people we are very different, but I think why we get along so well now is because we are very similar minds about wrestling. And it's, and people think that love, like, but if you ask us, and I'm sure when you spoke to him, and like myself, I'm way more into like different types of wrestling. I like one thing and he likes one thing. So he's more like, he loves sports. It doesn't take away, he loves sports entertainment. He will still like the stuff that I like, but he leans more that way. I'm more into pure wrestling and, like I said, the world of sport and stuff. But our mindset on professional wrestling is very similar, and I think that's why we're friends. But without speaking to him, I didn't know that. So early doors, I just kind of ignored him, and he ignored me, and we got on. And then I'm sure he told you. But for anyone who hasn't heard the one with Ben, go and listen to it. It's great.
Plug. Go listen to
the seminar. Yeah.
I mean, listen to this one.
Joe Connors. Listen to this one first. Then watch the match.
But there's that competitiveness. Competitiveness, I can imagine, between you two. And I'm glad it's the fact that you don't have to be twins. You don't have to be sort of identical in your mindset and everything you do. And I think you do have that chemistry, and you're seeing the matches. And I think chemistry is very, very important when it comes to tag team wrestling. You can't fake things when it comes to, like,
definitely. You know, being a parent. And I think also, because we have very similar mindsets, but we have very, very different, like, preferred wrestling, his outlook on the sport and my outlook on the sport are very differently. So sometimes I can only see things through one lens, and he can see something through a different lens. There is a problem there that we hate being wrong, either of us. So we will argue to, like, people, and again, best friends, love them to pieces. People see us interact and sometimes think we hate each other, and we're just together as a team.
For
because
like
we
you're
get
just
so
like tag team,
heated.
just oh,
That
they're
there
just
is a
an act. They fucking hate each other.
yeah, but like, people are like behind closed doors, they never speak, but we do, and we love traveling together, and we love doing stuff outside of wrestling. We're actual friends, you know what I mean? Like when I get married, he'll be my best man. He is my best friend, right? But we will argue until we're red in the face. Like, no, my way's right, my way's right. And there has to be, okay, you're right. And I've been humbled many a time. He's been humbled many a times because one of us has to be right.
You know what?
And
I
the
just feel
Joe
like.
Connors thing was him being right. When Joe Connors said he looked more interesting than me, he was right, and he did. But me at
How was it?
16
Yeah.
couldn't take that, and that's why I didn't like him for so long.
Something about his hair as well. That could have been mentioned.
Yeah, it was just I had a little ego going on because I'd
He's
been
being
there
a dick.
longest.
He wasn't used to him, you know, at the end of the day. Like,
Yeah, and then
oh,
he
you get
got
that though.
complimented when I
With
was
some
like, I
people.
thought I was pretty good.
Yeah. And then he comes along, he's like, oh, right, okay. Bit of competition
Him
there.
and his purple hair. If he dyed his hair again now, I reckon we'd fall out. But I don't think he'll do it.
Benjamin, don't do it. Do it. Fucking do it. I'm just staying in the pot here, mate. But it's one of those, I feel like I would love to get you both on, just like as a debate now. Just not just to actually talk about wrestling, just to see like you two have an actual argument on my podcast and me just winding you both up. I just think it'll be like entertainment for me. Maybe not you two, but.
If we found a point, like if we found a point that we could debate, but it'd go on for 4 hours, we spend car journeys, we spend shows where we're supposed to be like talking about the match we're gonna have, and we're going, no, this one specific minute detail I think works best like this. And he goes, no, it works best like this. And sometimes we'll do it the one person's way, and I go, like, he'll meet me and he'll go, okay, let's do it your way. And then I'll be wrong, which is worse because then we've done it. So I know for a fact I'm wrong. Whereas sometimes I agree with him and I'm like, oh, we should do it this way. And then he's wrong. Yeah, it gets really messy, but we are best friends. You just wouldn't believe it if you heard us interact.
But you're both like you are. I can tell like you are genuine friends, and you both speak high of each other on the podcast. And I'm not gonna like try and break you up or anything like that. I think you're both good lads. So I enjoy you as a tag team as well. So I want you to continue as a tag team, not be fucking splitting up because of this.
Until he dyes his hair, and
Benjamin, don't do it.
then we'll break up.
What I do want to hear though is what have been some of your personal highlights, as opposed to not just the tag team, because I know we've talked about that. And I spoke to Benjamin about it, but I want to ask you about your personal highlights.
I think a real big one, and it's because it'll be fresh in the memory, is we wrestled at Chaos the other day. And we had the match for the Impact Tag titles there a few months before, but we wrestled Grey Matter, Elijah, and Split Twin Pins. And we're in this match and we're just going through whatever. And there's something in the back end. And these are the things that I really love. It's those little moments. And I'm a huge wrestling fan and I'm a huge British wrestling fan amongst everything. Like I got into this at 14, and once I found out that there was a British scene, my mind exploded, and I was watching ICW and finding Attack videos and finding Progress videos and Rev Pro, and I'm a mark for all these things. And now I'm lucky enough that I get to work some of these places and I
Exactly.
get to work with
You get to
some
be
people I've
part of
worked
this and on the
with places.
cards for the shows that you watched as a fan.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so crazy and being in locker rooms with people who I've idolized, because it's not just Johnny Saints and Rollable Roccos, it's also not just Mick Foley and Edge, it is Will Ospreay, it is Flash Morgan Webster, people that I've watched and I've gone, oh my
Mark
God, this
Andrews,
guy. Yeah, Mark Andrews, right? And I said to Mark Andrews after the match we had, I was like, this is so cool for me. I watched you on British Bootcamp. I've watched you at Progress. I've watched you at all these places because if you boil it down, I am a British wrestling fan. But to be at Chaos the other week, and one of my a real cool personal moment, again, me and Ben are having one of those moments where we're looking at each other and going, this is going pretty well. And I kick out of something big from those guys, and you hear the murmuring, and then this is Chaos chant starts, and I'm like, that's cool. That's really cool because I've watched some amazing wrestlers on Chaos shows as a fan getting this is Chaos, and now I'm getting one from the same audience that I was a part of, and it's just mind-blowing. And it's really little things like that that sometimes get me the most. Oh my God, I can't believe this is such a, because I think big things like the Impact match, right? when you had Ben on, he was talking about it. Me and Ben are the biggest TNA marks ever, with sort of like Beer Money and everything like that. They're all
That's it,
guys,
Shitty
right?
Mc no, not Shitty, but they have
Yeah.
Motor City Machine Guns. God.
Yeah, like we put up a picture, we got to meet Saban the other day. It was so cool. Coolest guy ever, but like
Yeah, oh
my
yeah, you was
worst
there last week,
nightmare.
wasn't you?
Yeah, and like meeting him was amazing because again, we're just marks, but I think that is such a big moment for us that I was so tunnel visioned of like, oh my God, Impact World Champions match. Whereas like littler moments as to like fans might be like, oh, it was just a chant. But because the pressure was slightly less for that, I could sit there and go, oh my God, this is amazing. A few months ago, me and Ben were wrestling Rob Drake and Lon Austin at Atomic. And at Atomic, you've got the audience three sides and nothing on the back wall. Something's happening with me and Rob, and he's pulling at my face. You know what Rob Drake's like. And I managed to catch his hand. And we're sort of this way, we're sort of to the left, for anyone just listening. And I catch his fingers and I start bending his fingers back, obviously reversing the fact that he was attacking me. Now I'm on the front foot. And because of the way we were positioned, I could watch each and every person slowly, one by one, realize that he was no longer pulling my face. I was pulling his fingers. And I could just see like a wave through people of them going, oh, he's got him now. And I could watch it one by one by one. And again, what is a minute moment of a match? And I'm sure there was people at Atomic who don't remember that. But for me to see that happen with my eyes from in a wrestling ring, I was like, this is cool.
Was
And
that
we
kind of
got
a moment for
backstage.
you when you're like, okay, I've kind of made it?
Yeah, it just feels like because a lot of times you intend to do something and it doesn't work out
Yeah.
because the best laid
A lot of
plans
wrestlers
are
will
not.
have like their lists of what they want to achieve, their goals.
Yeah, and I what I but also on a smaller term, oh, I want this to do this. I want this to make people feel like this. I want
Yeah.
this to have this emotion, and it maybe doesn't pay off, but I was as I was pulling on just pulling a guy's fingers, and I was like, this is getting exactly what I wanted and what I needed it to. And it just felt really rewarding that, oh, it worked.
I like that, man. A lot of people talk about be like, oh, I won the title, it was my first match or something. But something that's so specific in a match that stands out to you, if you tell me that, and just kind of reading what's, the impressions and the expressions, sorry, not impressions, the expressions that are on the fans' faces during that time in the match. I like that. I like to hear that. What I want to ask you as well, what else have you got lined up for the rest of the year? I do have a few more questions, though. I'm not actually like wrapping up, but I want to ask you because I know like you do seem like to be quite an active and busy, talent. So what else you got lined up until the end of the year?
Yeah, we're super lucky at the minute. I think it's a great time in British wrestling. I feel like everyone seems quite busy. There's so many shows. I don't feel like we're at a point where we're sort of overdoing it and there's too many shows, but I just do feel like at the minute there is a lot. Myself and Ben do try and be at as many shows as possible. We've got is this going out pretty soon?
This will be out this week, mate. So if
This
that
week,
doesn't really mean a
lucky.
lot, so this will be out 6th of November, 7th of November, I reckon.
It's easy. So we'll be at Chaos. The boys from the bar will return. So we'll be at Chaos coming up, and then we've got Future at the end of the month, at the 25th of November. I'm not sure what I'm doing there yet, but Future's always fun. Future's a really a cool place that gave myself and Ben a chance where not a lot of other places had, and we see Future as home because Future was a place that. Me and Ben literally did everything at. We ref there. We've done music there, and we've done all this stuff. And it's simply
The
off.
music. Do tell.
So playing people's themes, ringing the bell,
Oh, right. I
everything.
thought you was like Mark Andrews. Like, I thought you and Ben were like in a
Oh no, we have
club.
like performed. I wish that. I mean, me and Ben would have a laugh doing it. It'd be awful. Like it'd be so
What
bad.
would be your instrument, and what would be Ben's instrument?
Ben would have someone zany because he's so artsy and different. So he'd have like, one of those little where like you've
Keyboard,
got a
like
metal
proper.
thing on your finger and you're playing like a guitar here, but it's low. I feel like he'd have one of them. I'd probably like have a tuba or something not as cool.
What's it called? What's
But
the one that's in your what that's in your profile? The one that's like the so bad I don't know what the fucking instrument is. Such an obvious one as well.
oh, a tambourine. I
That's
should have
the
said
one.
that.
I am
I
so
would have,
ashamed.
yeah.
That
Do
just
you really
completely
play a
the
tambourine
one.
though?
There's technique to it. I'm sure. I bet there's not. But there's fucking no technique
There isn't. I've carried a
to
tambourine for what? How long ago was that video? 6 years. I had a tambourine on my debut. I
it.
don't know what to do with
Yeah. Wonder why you had
that.
it. Was it because of
And
a
too much
certain Gallagher?
shit. Yeah, exactly. But I carry a tambourine now. 7 years.
If there is one thing that the listeners can take away from this interview, I think it's frozen. You still there? Jack's still there.
I'm here.
Oh, still.
I got.
Gotcha. I think it's stable now. There is one thing that the the listeners can take away from this interview. It's your debut, WWE. You being a dick to Benjamin or Ben, as you like to call him. But I want to ask you my famous question. It's a fun question. It doesn't have to be wrestling related. Three dream dinner guests for your dream party, dead or alive, non-fiction, fictional. Anyone can be anything. You're the host. You're going to be cooking for them, and you're going to be picking their brains while you eat with them or drink with them. Three guests and a short reason as to why you want them there. Go, Jack.
Oh wow, this is great. I think like the easy one, but this won't be my answer. I'll give you a better one after this. But I'm kind of just delayed so I can think. Me and Ben and the Quinlan boys need to do a come down with me because Hood is hell of a chef. I worked as a chef for a
Is
little bit. I say hell of a chef. We're in a group chat with the Quinlans, and I'll put him on right now because he'll listen to this. He has just sent me a picture of maybe the worst looking shepherd's pie you have ever seen. It was one of the ones that disappear, so I haven't still got a picture of it, but it looked vile. It was so bad. And I was worried that like someone else had made it for him, so I double checked. Did you make that? And he said yeah. So maybe it wouldn't be Pud and the boys, because if he's making shepherd's pie, I want
I think
no
the fact
part
that
of it.
he could is a good chef.
Yeah, but other than the shepherd's pie, some of the stuff he sends us looks great. So shout out Pud for being a little chef. I think I definitely have Johnny Saint as a guest. Just to pick his brains, like you said. I think he's got such a interesting outlook on wrestling, and I think if I selfishly could understand what he did and try and tweak it a little bit so nobody knows it's stolen, I could be making millions because he just understood it, right?
One thing I do like about it as well is the fact that you see his influence in today's wrestling, and it's the fact that
Definitely.
people like like get a lot of the older generation, they just don't want to sort of help today's generation. They just want to moan about it and pick it apart. You see it with like, I don't know, like Cornette or something. And like, don't get me wrong, Cornette does entertain me. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. I'm not talking about Jim. What I'm talking about Johnny Saint, and he still wants to help today's generation and the next generation because obviously without them, it's just no future.
Yeah, do you know what I find with Cornette? I find that I listen to him and I'm sat there nodding. I'm like, yeah, he's right. These young guys doing flips and
Yeah.
being dumb. And then I stop and I go, oh, I'm a young guy doing flips and being dumb. So he's preaching about exactly what I do, and I'm like, I'm not really a hypocrite because I'd never be like, oh, don't wrestle like this, don't wrestle like this,
Yeah.
because I think there's so much of that.
His
And
takes are
I don't think
funny,
I'm in
but
any
a lot of what he
place to do
says
it.
is like, you are so outdated, mate. You think like it's still like
Yeah.
Louisville
And
and
there's such a line like of a Cornette where it's got to just be one thing. And then I think that we can go a little bit too far with people who are like, wrestling is art, wrestling is subjective, it can be anything. And yeah, it can be, but to a level. There's a
Big
point
time.
where it's still a contest. There should still be winners and losers. And we can go far enough that now it's just a performance art, which is fine. Like, I love theatre and I love performance art.
But when you see those
But I
clips,
can't
that
call that
just
wrestling.
completely exposed the business. And I'm not, God, I'm like talk like I'm in the fucking business or I'm a pro wrestler. I'm not, but I'm a fan. But when people that I know don't like wrestling, they see this. This is already ammunition for them, and I've got to fucking defend it.
I think it was Flash Mother Webb start training this week, said, and I'm going to butcher the quote, but it was something along the lines of, like, you should be the wrestler that people watch and go, oh, this is legit. This is the
Yeah,
proper stuff.
I like that.
And I think that's such a good mindset. If everyone goes out and tries to be the guy that doesn't completely go, oh, look at this fake shit that we're doing, then I think everything's better. But yeah, I definitely have Saint. I'd have Liam Gallagher, because, again, just for
What
the
would you
stories. I'm
ask?
not sure how him and Johnny
I don't
Cage
normally
gel.
ask this, but I'm going to ask you, Jack. What would you ask? One question you get to ask Liam Gallagher, just because I really like Liam Gallagher and I saw him live last year, thought he was fantastic. I couldn't get, fuck's sake, Mike, couldn't get the tickets just because I kind of was waiting for my mate to give me a reply. And what I'm going to do though is wait near the time and just get on the tickets or something like that. I will go to the anniversary of Definitely Maybe. But what would you ask him?
Where
One
did you
question.
See, if I had one, I think he said something similar about Paul McCartney, and he was like, I wouldn't want to meet Paul McCartney because I'd get confused and I'd just lick his face. And I think I'd be so baffled with Liam Gallagher in front of me, I'd just end up telling him about WWE and rambling and just talking shy.
Liam, what do you think of WrestleMania 22?
Yeah, I'd just stick it on and be like, oh, lad, watch this. You'll love this. Guy goes
I
through a
don't give a
flaming
shit about
table.
Noel. Tell me about Mark Henry, Undertaker, Casket Match. Go, go,
Yeah,
go.
I think I'd just lose my head and ask him something
Yeah.
completely random. It's definitely a thinker, but I think I'd like to, like, I think if I spoke to him about how much he, like, how high of a regard he holds, like, Lennon in, I think that is how I'd speak to him to try and get his barrier down. Because if he spawned at a dinner party with me, he'd be
We're
like,
left getting wanker though.
oh, definitely. I think this is a big drinking. Like, I'd have to. I'm not sure how much Johnny Saint could
I
put away
was
now.
going to say,
I mean, he'd
it
probably drink more than me. I don't. But yeah, I think I'd probably try and gateway him into being like, oh, well, I feel like that about you. I think you're dead
completely
cool. Yeah, but if I instantly marked out for him, I think he'd.
Yeah.
I'd probably had bought me and call me a knob or something. So I'd have to figure out a way to get around it. I'm back with you. I'd probably have like a magician or someone who can, like,
David Blaine or
especially,
something.
yeah, maybe like both Penn and Teller, if I can cheat that and have them both. A, because then at least it's not boring. Like, the come down with me aspect is my food would be pretty good. There's the entertainment. I also feel like that can kill the tension between Johnny Saint and Liam Gallagher, who haven't got much in common.
What
But
card,
also, like,
Noel?
I always, like, I really respect, like, I used to love magic, and like it's one of, like, another thing that I really enjoy, and I love watching it. And I think it's similar in wrestling in a lot of aspects of, like, there's the performance aspect, but there's also the side of magic where they understand something that we don't, and in doing so, that's what makes it more entertaining for us. That if you watch magic and you understand every single piece of magic and you go, oh, well, this works like this because they do XYZ and this is the sleight of hand that they do, now it's not as enjoyable. But if you don't know any of the tricks, you can just watch people blow your mind. You go, oh my God, that's amazing. How do humans do this? And I feel like there's not a crazy bridge between wrestling and magic. And I think they'd be people that I'd like to pick the brains of. And also, as just people, they've done so well in business and in marketing themselves. They're so successful, just as humans, as well as what they do as art.
You know what? I'm just going to follow up on the link between magic and wrestling. I think us fans, and obviously I know like you are a wrestler, but you're a fan as well. Not just I'm not saying specifically us two, but sort of in general, just with the increase of like social media and stuff and its influence on wrestling, I think we forget to enjoy wrestling and we should stop worrying about what goes on in the back or how they do it or what's going to happen. Just like when I watch a magic show, I don't want to know straight away what happens or before. And I think I just love the way sometimes you can switch off like magic show. Or someone does a magic trick to me, like I don't know. You get sometimes like, on the piss and that makes it easier because easier to fool. But I don't want to have that. I'm just like, that's fucking awesome. It's great. When I watch a live show, I don't want to know like, oh, what's Dave Meltzer for this?
But I think a lot of people slip into it, and there's the magic of wrestling, and the magic of magic is, it's not when people are stood there and you're watching a card trick
Yeah.
And as you're watching it, if you're stood there watching it going, yeah, but it's a trick.
Yeah.
There's a way that he does it. Then there's something wrong. You should watch it and just enjoy it and go, oh, it's magic. The same way that I do think wrestling is magic. It's a sleight of hand. It's a show. It's a trick that people are performing. That, yeah. And imagine if Penn and Teller do one of their amazing bits, and they do like the knife into the paper where the rose slowly breaks. You would never sit there watching that and go, oh my God, what amazing, not only piece of magic, but piece of art and performance. And then go, I wonder what some bloke who watches magic thought of this. I'm going to listen to a podcast.
It's true, though. It's true.
Magic works.
What
do you reckon Penn ever falls out with Teller? Like, who's arse? Just watch the magic.
So smart. Yeah,
but it's, and I'm not really in the magic scene.
Yeah.
So maybe that is a thing. Maybe there is magic podcasts where they go, did you see David Blaine's new bit? Wow, oh, he's corny as fuck. Burn your boots. Get rid of your playing cards. Like,
that bunt is not real. Jack, pleasure speaking to you, mate. As I come to the end of this chat, been a really good chat, mate. Is there anything you'd like to say? Anyone or anything you'd like to address, or anything you want to promote? The opportunity is yours, because we're now at the end of this interview.
No, I don't really think so. Thank you for having me.
No it's worries.
Really enjoyable. I said to you before, I sometimes feel like I just kind of ramble and talk shit on podcasts, but I've really enjoyed this. To put something over, I'd love for people to just keep supporting British independent wrestling, not just me, not just Ben, not Act Two, but the more that people support this business, the bigger it can be and the better that we can do. If you look at what's been happening recently, Impact have just run a tour here, AEW are running shows here. There's a reason for that, and it's because we have
WWE
a great audience for
wrestling. Or PLEs, as they call it.
Exactly. We have such receptive people to this. I think we need to. There is a slight barrier between that AEW, WWE fan base, where the more of that we can get into independent wrestling, that's how we get another massive boom where we're selling out massive buildings and everyone makes more money. Everyone gets to wrestle in front of more people, and people get more wrestling to watch. That's my only really.
You enjoy it more. I enjoy it more. And then everyone's a winner, and the fans, their attendance, exactly. They want to come back. And then we just, because there is eyes on the British wrestling scene, as like we've seen with TNA, even just like
massively.
Last week. So I forget it's November now.
Yeah.
And obviously with Harley Hudson getting signed from Gutcheck,
yeah,
and Leon Slater being on the tour as well. So
which is great. They're both so amazing.
Yeah.
They're both super cool. They've both been amazing to me. We've been lucky enough to wrestle Harley twice now. Once at TNT, once at Atomic. She's an absolute superstar, deserves the world. We haven't wrestled Leon yet, and we saw him at the Impact tapings, not the tapings, the show that they did, and he was like, gotta wrestle you guys, and I was like, we're going nowhere, bro. You're getting signed to places.
Honest, mate, that's not happening. I was gutted
right now,
I was gutted about you and Benjamin not going for it, but I think Benjamin did say it.
Yeah.
Mike said it on the interview or anything, but I think the fact that you guys are like, we don't necessarily, it's not just the be all sort of end all whatever, you know, there's more things for us to do at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're really lucky. As I said earlier, with how busy we are, we're lucky to be doing what we're doing, and we'd love to keep doing more. But yeah, he was like, when are we wrestling you guys? He was like, me and Doris versus you guys. And I was like, yeah, but it's you and Doris that are blowing up right now. So we need to do it quick before they're both signed, because they should be, because they're both amazing. So fingers crossed that happens.
I think it will, mate. I will. Jack, if the fans want to find you on social media, where can they find you there and give you a
You can find me everywhere at JackNudson01. That's Instagram and X. You can find me Facebook/JackNudsonWrestler. Let me pull up, because I will definitely get it wrong. It's @act_2_, because someone had @act2. And whoever you are, I hope you're happy.
Fuck you. I thought you could have pulled up the Shepherd's Pie then, by the way, from Pud.
And I will put over a punch over the spine. He hasn't sent it to me. It's a
You
spineless
can find
report.
it, and it's before I do edit this, which will be probably another hour or so. Do send it. If not, not life or death, but
It'll
I'm
be the
trying to
Sunday.
get the Violent Gentlemen Society on all in one, and I want to do it early next year, so I'm going to
Awesome.
reach out to Tommy. It's going to be very difficult, though, just getting them all on at the
There's
same
about 60 of them now,
time.
right, though?
Have
I don't think it's
Act
been done that
2
way.
been tempted to join, by the way, as we're signing off?
Definitely not. 1,000% not.
Leon Grayling, he knows how he feels about them. But nah, they're all talented. But I like all like the little rivalries you have. You'll get on, but you'll like just rip
Yeah.
into them as well. It's great. That's friendship there. But Jack, thank you for coming on. I'm glad you've had a good time. I've
Thank
had a
you, mate.
great time as well. Act 2, had them both on now, and maybe I'll get them both on for a debate. If you can all like this video, follow Jack on his social media, follow me on my social media in the description below. You can do so. Keep up to date with what I've got lined up next. I'm going to be quiet this week now, but this episode is more than enough for you to keep you entertained if you're going to work or at the gym or I don't know what else people do these days. But do check it out. But also subscribe to this account. That'd be great. But for now, everyone, have a great week. Peace. Hello there. I've got a special announcement from the next guest.
It's your boy, one half of Act Two, Jack Nudson, and I will be appearing on the What Do You Call It podcast.
Yeah, I heard.